Laga and Riley Yauch.
As our cousin subs today, cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Brian, handicap the left tackle battle for us. Again, I understand the NFL is all about competition. I understand that one guy's a first-round pick. You got to find a place for him on the field. You don't want him sitting for a second year. But I went back in my Channel 3000 archives, which only go back to February because I've only been there for a little while, but I'm excited to be there. And I used something you said on the show, a pretty extensive defense of Rashid Walker. Almost called him Rashawn Gary, and that's a much harder thing to defend at this point. And what he's done in his 35 NFL starts, what do you expect to happen starting on July 23rd? And I'm going to put you on the spot. Predict who will be the opening left tackle without any evidence of any training camp practices or any preseason games, which is very fair to you. Who will be the starting left tackle when the Packers open the season September 7th against the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field?
It's going to be a fun competition to watch. And you said it. Obviously, I was a first round pick. I understand the urgency from an organization to get a first round pick on the field. Like I understand it. As a first round pick, you know, knowing that, I didn't really understand the politics of it, you know, as a player. Like I knew coming into the situation I was in a very veteran offensive line room. Like I saw Tausch, I saw Cliffy, I saw Darren College, I saw Sitton, and I was like, well, I'm not starting here this year. So like, I'm going to learn as much as humanly possible, and if for some reason I have to play, I will make sure I'm as well prepared as possible. And obviously what happened. So, like, that was the way I approached my rookie year. Like, there was no really – like, I prepared myself, like, if I had to play, I would be ready. But, like, there wasn't a thought going into this thing once I got through the OTA process that, like, okay, like, I'm beating these guys out. Like, I was pretty humbled quickly watching them play as a rookie. Like, yeah, like, these guys – like, they know what they're doing. They're very good. They know the system. Like, oh, like, yeah. Like, they're here for a reason. Like, they're good. So, like, this is going to be what it's going to be. This left tackle competition this offseason is going to be very unique because this isn't, like, a pushover incumbent, right? Like, this isn't, like, Rashid Walker's a guy that has been struggling at the left tackle position that you really want to find someone to like beat him out. Like this isn't that type of situation. Sheed has been playing well and like to try to remove someone that's been playing really well just to remove him is a difficult task. And for a guy that's been playing well, he has all the confidence in the world going out there and performing in camp and performing at a high level in camp. And if he does that, right, there's one thing that never lies, regardless of, you know, it's the tape. And that's what everyone watches when they sit in their meeting rooms after practice, from players and coaches and everything. Like, we all sit down in our meeting rooms and we watch the practice tape. And everyone sees the same thing, right? So, like, regardless of any way you want to cut it, like, everyone sees the same thing. So, like, if Sheed's having a really good camp, Jordan Morgan could have a good camp too, right? Like, I'm not saying that he's going to, like, not be good, but he could have a good camp too. But if Sheed is having a good camp and they just say that Jordan Morgan won the left tackle job, guys are going to go, like, but, like, Sheed had a really good camp. And he's been starting the last 2 years. So, like, what is the reason that she didn't win the job? And that's going to be a very interesting situation. Now, again, this is me not knowing really anything about Jordan. And I've said this so many times. So, like, and I want to continue to say it because I don't know anything about Jordan Morgan as a player because of what happened with his injuries, and then obviously how quickly the left tackle battle ended last year, essentially. And then he got moved into guard, and that's where he took a lot of reps, and that's where he played a little bit last year when he was rotating with Sean Ryan. And then he got hurt, and then he was pretty much done for the entire season. I haven't really seen him take significant reps at the left tackle position to really have a thought, right? Like, and see how, like, you saw him in college. I saw cut-ups of him at college. I thought he was a smooth mover. I thought he moved well. He has tackle feet, which, you know, bodes really well for him at the NFL level. But to see him block NFL defensive ends at that position is a whole different animal. Like, it's a whole different story. So that's what I'm really intrigued to watch, is see him go in preseason games and even in these joint practices that I won't be able to watch, but there will be people that will get to see it, like yourself and Rob and these guys that really watch these things and see how it goes, because that's where these decisions will be decided. It's not going to be decided in Packers versus Packers. It'll be decided in preseason and mm-hmm. joint practices. And it will not shock me at all is if Sheed and Jordan Morgan are taking plenty of reps in preseason games. Like, it will not shock me at all. If they really want a true competition and they're neck and neck, they're going to have to go play preseason games to figure it out.
Yep.
Like, they're going to have to, and they got to put them in a fair competition. And like, no matter where you want to look at preseason games, if you like them, you don't like them, there's still something about them that gives you butterflies. Like, they always gave me butterflies, even into my eighth, ninth year. You go out there, it's still a game environment. There's fans in the stands. Guys are excited mm-hmm. about them. The guys that you're lining up across from, it may not be the superstars of the league, but they're guys trying to fight for a job, and they're motivated. They're excited to be there. And you have to be ready to play. And there's that nervousness of not understanding the guy you're going against. There's not much tape on that guy, and you have to be ready for anything. And that's the tape that you want to see if you're evaluating two guys of how they do in the situation. So to me, that's going to be how this kind of gets sorted out. And I'll give, at the end of the day, this is without any seeing anything and knowing anything, and I'm not trying to slight either guy. I just have to go based off what I've seen over the last 2 years. I have to say Rashid, because I've seen him play over the last 2 years in big games and against high level, you know, competition, against high level defensive ends and playoff games. I have to say Sheed, until proven otherwise, right? Like, I can only go based off what I've seen over the last 3 years. Now, if Jordan Morgan comes out in training camp and is just lights out, I mean, absolutely lights out, and the guy looks unbelievable, it's a different story. But, like, I still, then my next question is, what do you do mm-hmm. with Sheed? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole you have to go down then. So it's a very interesting battle. If you're looking at it from an outsider perspective, like, yeah, it's a good problem to have for the Packers. Then you have two guys that are capable of playing a position. But if you're looking at it from, like, say, Sheed's perspective, he's in a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's in a contract year. He doesn't want to watch from the sideline. He's started the last 2 years. He doesn't want to watch. He wants to earn a next contract. So this is a very delicate, interesting situation for him. He's had to compete for his job the last few years. I know he's probably fine to do it again. And he will have to, obviously.
Right.
He'll be up.
Let me interrupt, because now I'm sitting here going, okay, let's say Jordan Morgan wins the left tackle job. Let's say they don't mm-hmm. guarantee any money for Elgton Jenkins existing his contract. They don't extend Zach Tom. And obviously they're not extending Sean Ryan. He has to prove himself, too. So now mm-hmm. you've got four offensive linemen who are all varying degrees of disgruntled. Right? Because Right? The only guy that's happy is the free agent that you brought in from the outside that got the $77 million contract. And the new starting left tackle who was a first round pick a year ago. Again, I'm not saying that they just aren't going to pay anybody ever, but there are consequences to doing that. And you can say it's about competition, and you can say that may the best man win, and that's totally fair. I get it. But these are not robots that we're talking about here. These are people with feelings, and they have human emotions. And we saw it with Yash Nyman, who went kind of in the tank after he lost the competition to Rasheed Walker. He did not handle it well, and Steno came out and criticized him for not rising to the occasion. So I just say that with caution to remember that these guys are people too. They're not just emotionless robots and little names on your depth chart. They are people who feel things. And if I was, I'll be honest, if I'm Rasheed Walker and I lose the competition, and I don't think I should have, and I think I lost it only because he's a first-round pick and I'm not, I'm asking to be traded at the trade deadline or at the cutdown date. All right, fine. You don't think I'm a starter? Trade me to a team that needs a left tackle. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, you almost feel like you'd have to at that point, right? This goes back to like doing what's best for yourself, right? Like and again. I know Packers fans are going to hate me for saying this because it's not about the team, but like guys have to take care of themselves. And like, what is that going to do for him sitting on the bench for a full season in a contract year when he started at left tackle the last 2 years and has played pretty well as a left tackle for the Green Bay Packers the last 2 years? Like And like you said, I'm all for competition. If you get beat out, you get beat out. Like, and that is the way things go in the NFL. It is a very competitive league. You have to feel like you're getting pushed every single year. But if you feel, and if it's clearly on tape that like you felt like you got beat out and you didn't get beat out, well, you got to make sure that you somehow take care of your best interest one way, shape, or form in some way. Mm-hmm. But that's between, you know, he and his agent and however that gets sorted out.
All right. Well, we will see how it plays out this summer. We'll also see how trivia plays out. Riley, what's today's category? What color would you like?
The category, since we have Brian Bulaga on today, is simply Iowa. More specifically, the University of Iowa and the football team. But Iowa is the category. And give me caller number 12. That is a hint for one of the questions. Caller number 12. Ooh.
The number of touchdowns the Hawkeyes have scored in the last four football seasons. No, sorry, that was my Jesse invitation. Caller 12 right now, 844-770-3776. Caller 12, 844-770-3776. We will play next. It's Will Dean Tausch. And it's been a while since we had first-time contestants. Well, we got one today. Let's welcome him in. First, after we remind you that trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Now let's welcome him in. It is Adam in Madison. Adam, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How you guys?
Is this the first time you've called to try and be a trivia contestant, or is this the first time you finally got through?
No, this is actually the first time I've tried.
Wow! Beginner's luck! Let's see how you fare with these questions written by one Riley Yauch. I've got question 1 and question 3. Brian has question 2. Here is question 1, Adam. What is the name of the Iowa Hawkeyes mascot? Is it Hockey, Herky, or Blue?
I'm going to go with A.
Hockey. It's not correct. Herky? His name is Herky, Brian?
Yep. Yep.
Herky's kind of jerky, yep. Am I right?
Yeah, Herky the Hawkeye.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, sorry, Adam. Tough debut. Question one did not go your way. Let's see about question two.
All right. Question two. The Wisconsin Badgers and the Iowa Hawkeye football teams play for the Heartland Trophy, which is a bronze sculpture of which animal? Is it A, a bull, B, a pig, or C, a turtle?
A pig.
They do play for a trophy that's a pig, right? Is that the one with Nebraska?
Yeah,
Minnesota, I believe.
No, Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah. And the Hawkeyes play for the pig trophy. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I knew someone did.
The Badgers and the Hawkeyes play for the bull trophy. What is it called, Brian?
The Heartland.
The Heartland trophy, and how many times did you win it while you were there?
Twice.
Mm. Got that on Jesse Nelson and however many times Bradley won a football game. I don't even know when the last time was they had a football team.
Does Bradley have a football team?
I don't think, not currently. They have a football team, but not a football team. All right, question three, Adam. Let's get one right here. We got the drawing coming up, so come on. In 2010, the Wisconsin Badgers defeated the Iowa Hawkeyes and Herky, 31-30, which is recognized by The Athletic as the greatest game in Wisconsin-Iowa history. Here's the question. Who was the quarterback for Iowa in this matchup? And Brian Bulaga was blocking for him the year prior. Was that quarterback in the 31-30 Badgers win over the Hawkeyes, Deacon Hill, C.J. Beathard, or Ricky Stanzi?
Was that Beathard?
I don't know. Was it? Ricky Stanzi. Ricky Stanzi was the Hawkeyes quarterback. All right, Adam, I don't... You know, Marshawn Lloyd had a tough rookie season. And now we'll see what he does in year two. He could have a blockbuster year and be super productive. Maybe the second time you play trivia, and I hope there is a second time, will go better. But you did go 0-3, which means you've got one entry for being caller 12 in our drawing, and maybe you'll win the way some teams have won with very few ping pong balls in the lottery. We appreciate you playing, even though it didn't go great for you, Adam. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, just glad I didn't ruin a perfect week.
You definitely didn't. All right, so that is trivia. Woe Riley and pulling this week's winner, who could be Adam. He's got one chip in the bowl, so it could happen. That happens next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 747 somewhere between here and heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone, guess I got to Tucson too late. I wonder if she sat there stirring vodka with a straw.
All right, I understand you like country music. I understand Riley wants to make you feel welcome. But we got nothing else peppier than this? This is a breakup song? I've said a few weeks. My truck won't start. My girlfriend left me.
I told him I can listen to anything. I said
that's
anything.
True.
Okay.
I did.
Well, we ended
that's
up
true.
With this.
That, yeah, that's on me. I'll take full responsibility for this song choice.
Okay. In fairness to Riley, I thought Adam's questions were difficult, but definitely not out of bounds. I was hoping for some Gerald Ford trivia, but that's a different producer who handles that genre. Riley, you need to draw a winner before we do Well, Riley. We need a winner for this week's trivia contestants.
That we do. And if you can see on your screen right here, I have the chips. I'm closing my eyes, grabbing
what
one.
A man of high character he is.
And it is a 2, which means that our winner is Steve in Waukesha. Let's go, Steve.
Congratulations, Steve. Time now for a brief Well, Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, only got a couple of things for you guys today. Starting with, so yesterday was my birthday. And it felt like my first real adult birthday. I was working most of the day, whipping up the show sheet at night. I got all the birthday wishes from my friends and family, but nothing crazy. Super relaxed, had a decent dinner, and that was about it. So I want to know, you guys, you are just a slight bit my elder. What do you guys do for your birthdays these days now?
Brian, well, happy you first. Birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Riley. Happy, what, 22? Yeah.
24, actually. Mm. Getting old.
24.
Getting up there.
Yeah. So all I do for my birthday, essentially, most of the time, I may go out to dinner with Abby, but most of the time we're at the house with the kids, and, like, maybe we'll grill steaks, and most of the time, like, for a dessert, Abby will ask the kids what they want for a birthday cake, and most of the time it's like dirt dessert because that's what they like, and that's my birthday cake, and we just spend the time at the house. That's essentially what we do for my birthday.
Okay.
The girls make me a cake, and then they help me blow out the candles. We usually take a picture of Sid and Maddie and Stella and Sadie, our two dogs. They sit on chairs, all four of them, around me, and we take a picture, and we have some cake, and then the rest of the 23 hours and 49 minutes of the day are just like any other day. So enjoy it, Riley, and behave yourself is always the suggestion that I had for you.
Whoa, Nelly! All right, last thing. So I have a jiu-jitsu tournament I'm competing in tomorrow. Currently cutting a little weight for it. So I guess this is more for you, Brian. You competed in the NFL.
Wait a minute. Yes? Wait.
Yes?
What weight class are you in, and how much weight are you cutting to get down to the requisite weight?
So I'm in the 150-pound blue belt division adult weight class, I guess. That's my division. 150 pounds. Typically walk around like 157-ish, and today weighed myself this morning.
157?
Yeah, I'm a sprite, spindly guy, as you guys like to say to describe Christian Watson. Slight. So only have to cut about 7 pounds. Weighed in at 153 this morning. Going to eat light, drink light today. Should make weight. I'm not too worried about it. I've had my brother, who is a wrestler, kind of coach me through it. But anyways, my question for you, Brian, you competed at the highest level. One, what was your game day routine like, your pregame routine? And two, what was sort of your attitude going into each and every football game?
Good question.
Yeah, so game day routine, obviously road and home were different. We'll just talk about the home games. I would show up to the stadium minimum 4 hours early. Like I had to be there early. If I had family in town, no matter what, I drove to the stadium by myself. A lot of the guys, they'd drive with their wife or kid. Like, I drove to the stadium separate by myself. I had to be kind of on my own. Would get there immediately there, put my pads and everything in my pants, get all that out of the way. Hot tub, do all that, get all that out of the way. And then get tape. I had a whole routine that I would go through. It was the same thing every single time. And the attitude, it was kind of, I was calm. I never, there was nervousness, anxiousness, kind of, but I tried to stay calm throughout the entire time. Never really, some guys get very hype and very, like, you know, wild and energetic. I tried to stay even keel all the time because I know those highs and lows come throughout a game, right? Like, if you get too juiced up, you know, you can burn out really quick, and then there's lows throughout the game where you don't want your emotions to tank. So I just try to stay the same throughout, you know, pregame, in the game, and all that, so that my emotions just stayed in check. Because that's the way the game goes. Like, the, and you just got to try to hold steady throughout the entire time. But if you got a good pregame warm-up or something that you like to do prior to competing, just stick with it. Don't change it or think, oh, I saw this on Instagram that this guy likes to do this. Well, that may not work for you, so don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, and chances are that guy doesn't do that anyway. He just saw that from someone else that he thought was good, so he posted that. So do what works for you. Don't change anything that you think, you know, may not work, because that guy did. Just do what you do best and compete well.
All right. Sounds good.
That's it.
Appreciate the insight.
All right, that's it for Woe Riley. We will end the – by the way, good luck in – good luck, as Tausch says.
Thank you.
In your tournament, don't get your ass kicked.
That's not the plan. I plan on winning. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Here we go.
Can't wait for an update on Monday. You'll have to join us as a guest and get the full story of your jiu-jitsu tournament. Beware of Johnny from the dojo in The Karate Kid. All right, so we need to wrap up the week and wrap up the show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. We'll do that next. It's Will D. Tausch.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the way. Try to live up to
Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints, wraps up the week. I just want to take this opportunity. I know Brian, when he was a rookie, had Mark Tauscher, had Chad Clifton to help him along. When I started out at the Wisconsin State Journal, I had Kent Youngblood, who was the Packers beat writer, and he let this 24-year-old whippersnapper help him during the 96 season as the Packers went and won a Super Bowl. Kent announced his retirement from the Star Tribune this week in Minneapolis. He left us for Minnesota, his native land, in 1998. I always tease him because he came into a October 5th, 1998 game, Packers-Vikings at Lambeau Field. He came in with us, and he left with the Star Tribune guys and Randy Moss, who had a 190-yard game as they cooked the Packers in prime time. So, Kent, congratulations on a great career. More importantly, thank you for being the much older brother that I never had. I owe you a lot in my success in my career, just like I'm sure Brian feels like he owes Tausch a lot. Brian, thank you so much for filling in for the big fella today. You're always there when we need you, buddy. Appreciate you.
My pleasure. It's fun as always. As always.
I'm sure it'll happen again, too, given that guy's schedule. All right, that's it for us this week. Thanks to Brian. Thanks to Riley Yauch for filling in, as well as Cousin Subs of the Day. And thanks to you for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.